From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello VOI listener, welcome back with me Rahma. In today's edition, we will present some segments to you, beginning from news, spotlight of the week, and other interesting info, as well as Indonesian songs. Well listener, we begin with news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, on the frequency 3325 kHz, and website voinews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia with news first the headlines. President Joko Widodo and Norwegian Prime Minister discuss Gaza peace in Dubai. Indonesian Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency warns climate change can disrupt water justice. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo met Norwegian Prime Minister Jonas Gahr Støre in Dubai recently to discuss efforts to bring peace to Palestine's Gaza. In a statement received from the Presidential Secretariat in Jakarta, the President said that Norway, as a facilitator of the Oslo Accords, can contribute to finding a solution so that the peace process in Palestine can be restarted based on a two-state solution. During the meeting, which took place on the sidelines of the World Climate Action Summit of the Conference of the Parties, or COP28, in Dubai, the United Arab Emirates, the two leaders also discussed cooperation on environmental issues. President Joko Widodo told Prime Minister Støre that Indonesia has been successful in reducing carbon emissions by improving control over deforestation and forest degradation, emphasizing the international community's acknowledgement of Indonesia's success story. However, he noted that Indonesia has yet to receive the full payment for its success in reducing emissions as agreed upon in the result-based payment in the reducing emissions from deforestation and forest degradation, or a RED plus mechanism. Head of the Indonesian Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency, Dwikorita Karnawati, warned that climate change can disrupt water justice, fair access to water resources, which is one of the most basic human rights. Speaking at a recent panel discussion at the Indonesian Pavilion at COP28 in Dubai, the United Arab Emirates, she underlined the impact of extreme weather and climate-related disasters that are most felt by people in developing and island countries. Hence, capacity-building initiatives are crucial, particularly in the areas of science and technology, finance, governance, and management. She expressed hope that the upcoming World Water Forum in Bali, taking place in 2024, would help to bridge the capacity gaps between nations and generate tangible solutions to combat the threat of climate change on water resources. The West Java Provincial Government collaborated with Japan's Shizuoka Prefecture Government in holding a job fair on December the 2nd and 3rd in Bandung to attract local workers to Japan. Head of the West Java Manpower and Transmigration Agency, Tepiwawan Darmawan, said on Saturday that the job fair has been organized by the two governments since 2021. It is currently in its 5th edition and has so far absorbed at least 72 Indonesians into various industries in Shizuoka. It offered 38 vacancies in 11 companies in the tourism, processing industry, fisheries, and other sectors. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris said too many innocent Palestinians had been killed in Gaza as Israeli warplanes and artillery bombarded the enclave on Saturday, December the 2nd, following the collapse of a truce with Hamas militants. Residents feared the barrage were a prelude to an Israeli ground operation in the south of the Palestinian territory that would pen them into a shrinking area and possibly try to push them across into Egypt. The Gaza Health Ministry said at least 193 Palestinians had been killed and 650 wounded since the truce ended on Friday morning, added to the more than 15,000 Palestinian dead since the start of the war. Speaking in Dubai, Harris said Israel had a right to defend itself, but international and humanitarian law must be respected and too many innocent Palestinians have been killed. Harris also sketched out a U.S. vision for post-conflict Gaza, saying the international community must support recovery and Palestinian security forces must be strengthened. One of ousted Pakistani Prime Minister Imran Khan's lawyers was elected on Saturday as chairman of his party, allowing it to take part in a national vote scheduled for February as the former cricketer is in jail and barred from taking part. Barrister Gohar Ali Khan had been nominated by Khan himself to be the chairman of Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf. The Election Commission of Pakistan had directed Tehreek-e-Insaf to hold the party poll for a new chairman if it wanted to participate in the election on February the 8th and retain its bad election symbol. The party will face former Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif's party as its main opponent. North Korea said on Saturday it would consider any interference with its satellite operations a declaration of war and would mobilize its war deterrence if any attack against its strategic assets were imminent. Pyongyang would respond to any U.S. interference in space by eliminating the viability of U.S. spy satellites, state media KCNA reported. Citing a statement from North Korea's Defense Ministry spokesperson, North Korea says it successfully launched its first military spy satellites on November the 21st, transmitting photos of military. The Philippines lifted a tsunami alert early on Sunday as waves receded from a magnitude 7.4 earthquake that struck the south of the country, triggering coastal evacuation and some waves in there and in Japan. There were no initial reports of casualties or serious damage from the quake in the Mindanao region, although some residents reported damage to buildings in the area, which is less populated than some parts of the archipelago. More than 500 aftershocks were recorded, and the Philippines Institute of Volcanology and Seismology, or PFOX, urged caution as people resume normal activities. The tsunami threat associated with this earthquake has now largely passed the Philippines. PFOX said in a statement, it had earlier urged people living near the coast of Surigao, Del Sur, and Davao Oriental provinces to move inland. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. This week's spotlight is on KRI Dr. Rajiman ensures ready to sail to Gaza. Indonesian Navy ship KRI Dr. Rajiman Wedyodiningrat 992 Commander Marine Colonel Bayu Dwi Wicaksono ensured that the ship was ready to sail across the ocean to safe waters near Gaza to help care and provide health services to Palestinian war victims. However, confirmation that the ship will depart for waters near Gaza is still awaiting permission from the Egyptian government. According to the ship commander, Colonel Bayu, El Aris, the collection point for aid to Gaza, as well as the closest location to enter Gaza on the Rafah border, is in the Sinai region, Egypt. The commander Thursday in Jakarta said that all ship components, including the engine, had been checked during docking at the PT PAL shipyard in Surabaya, East Java. At the same location, the ship was also painted entirely white, considering that it is carrying out a humanitarian mission as an auxiliary hospital when it is docked near Gaza. Changing the color of the ship to white is in accordance with international provisions, namely the Geneva Convention and the San Remo Manual, that hospital ships for humanitarian missions be painted white so that they do not become targets for fire from those fighting at war. If the Egyptian government allows Indonesia to send KRI Dr. Rajiman as an auxiliary hospital ship to save waters near Gaza, this voyage was the first mission of the ship to cross the ocean and left Indonesian waters. While waiting for the permission from the Egyptian government, KRI Dr. Rajiman Mediodiningrat 992 rest at the pier of the Indonesian Navy's Military Seaborne Command Headquarters, Jakarta, in preparation for sending aid to the Palestinian people in Gaza, as well as providing health services. The plan to send a hospital aid ship was first conveyed by Defense Minister Prabowo Subianto after sending the first phase of aid from Indonesia to Gaza on November 4, 2023, by air. Prabowo said Indonesia was coordinating with countries around Gaza, Palestine, including Egypt, for the delivery of the auxiliary hospital ship. Indonesia also offered the Palestinian Authority to evacuate its citizens who are victims of the war in Gaza so that they could be taken outside Gaza and treated in several hospitals managed by the Indonesian military. That was this week's Spotlight.
Start today in history with December the 3rd, 1945.
the battle at Gedung Sate against the Allies. On December the 3rd, 1945, at around 1 p.m. West Indonesia time, Gedung Sate, an Indonesian government building in Bandung, West Java, was attacked by Dutch Allied troops from all directions. A total of 21 Public Works Department employees defended the Dutch Army's attack. A number of people died in the gun battle, which lasted for 2 hours. Even though they succeeded in defending Gedung Sate, Indonesia lost the lives of 7 young people. This building, whose initial name was V&W, was defended to the last drop of blood by young people and employees of the Public Works Department. December the 3rd is celebrated as Public Works Day. Turning to December the 3rd, 1992, International Day of Persons with Disabilities celebrated for the first time. International Day of Persons with Disabilities has been celebrated by the United Nations since December the 3rd, 1992. International Day of Persons with Disabilities aims to advance disability rights and protect the welfare of people with disabilities, also to develop public insight into problems that occur related to the lives of people with disabilities and provide supports to improve the dignity, rights, and welfare of people with intellectual disabilities. I'll end today in history with December the 3rd, 1997. The Ottawa Treaty signed. Convention on Prohibition of the Use, Stockpiling, Production and Transfer of Anti-Personnel Mines and on their Destruction, known informally as the Ottawa Treaty, was signed on December the 3rd, 1997 by 123 countries and came into force on March the 1st, 1999. To date, there are 164 countries supporting this treaty. One country, the Marshall Islands, had signed but not ratified the treaty, while 32 UN countries, including the United States, Russia, China, and India, are non-signatories. So, a total of 33 United Nations countries are not parties to the treaty. That was today in history.
More from Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in the segment Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent their letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering their letters or emails. First, I would like to reply to a letter from Peter Muller in Duisburg, Germany. Hello, sir. How are you? In his letter, Mr. Muller said he has received a QSL card which was sent by German section. Thank you so much for your confirmation, sir. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please send it to us either through email or letter. As appreciation, I will play a beautiful song special for you. Here is the song.
Kisah yang bercerita tentang kelembutan, tentang kehangatan. Tiada satupun yang dapat untuk mengisahkan apakah gerangan yang ku rasakan sejak dari pertama kali kita berjumpa. Bayanganmu selalu mengusik aku, begitu ingin ku bersamamu selalu. Kau sayang padaku, Cinta bila bersamamu bahagia hatiku. Sering ku inginkan kau datang di dalam hidupku. Berdua denganmu memadu rindu. Bagai malakala membutuhkan sinar bulan. Bagai daunan membutuhkan hujan. Begitu tangisku bersamamu.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz and website voinews.id. Today's edition will give information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on Indonesia takes part in the IESF World Esports Summit. Two female figures in the Indonesian esports ecosystem, Diana Sutrisno and Deborah Emanuela, became speakers and award recipients for their achievements and competence at the IESF World Esports Summit 2023, which took place in Busan, South Korea, from November 28 to 29. The presence of these two Indonesian women is a source of pride for Indonesia after esports began to be competed in the Asian Games in Guangzhou, China, and the 2023 SEA Games in Cambodia. Quoted from the official statement from the Indonesian Esports Executive Board Thursday, Diana, who is the General Treasurer of the Board and a board member of the International Esports Federation, explained Indonesia's strategic efforts to achieve world-class achievements. She specially highlighted Indonesia's achievements in winning the overall champion title at the IESF 14th World Esports Championship 2022 in Bali. Diana said that the key to Indonesia's success was the implementation of intensive and comprehensive preparation, starting to have a positive impact esports development programs involving the Indonesian esports ecosystem have enabled the Indonesian Esports Executive Board to get the best teams to take part in the national selection and national training camp. Another thing is the preparation, which involves various supporting elements to strengthen technical and non-technical readiness, such as physical fitness, mental and psychological toughness, as well as health and nutrition. Meanwhile, Head of Public Relations and Communication of the Board, Deborah Emanuela, received the Esports Hall of Fame Award in the Community Championship category at the 2023 World Esports Summit. This prestigious award was given to Deborah as a form of word recognition for her dedication, hard work, and commitment to empowering and improving competence e-sport ecosystem through her involvement in e-sport national and international boards, global SVP Unipin, and as a founder of Lunanera. That was my Indonesia Sunday.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, now we will reply to a letter from Detlef Jörg in Hanstedt, Germany. He was listening to our broadcast in German language on July 11, 2023 through frequency 3325 kHz with SINPO 43444. Hello sir, thank you for your reception report. Through your letter, I know that our broadcast can be heard clearly in your country. Well, Mr. Detlef Jörg, my colleagues from the German section will reply to your letter as soon as possible. Please wait for it. As appreciation, here is a beautiful song special for you. Happy listening!
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
From Indonesia to the world.
Thank you for joining the English program from Voice of Indonesia. For the next segment, we'll present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Indonesian Wonder today is featuring Sarabadak Cave in Purwokerto, Central Jawa. Purwokerto is the capital of Banyumas District, Central Jawa Province. The city is not as popular as other tourist destinations in Central Jawa, perhaps, but it has a special charm which is no less attractive. In Banyumas District, there is a natural tourist attraction called Goa Sarabadak or Sarabadak Cave, located right in Kemutuk Lor village Batu Raden, about 14 kilometers from the center of Purwokerto city. The location of the Sarabadak Cave tourist attraction is still in the well-known Pancuran Pitu Batu Raden complex. When going to this location, visitors must go down the steps of the path which has a sulfur cliff on the right side. The bright yellow sulfur cliffs are clearly visible when visitors follow the water pipe route to the Ketengar Power Plant Pool, which has a very beautiful view. The water pipe route is also commonly used by local people for selling various goods to tourists heading to Pancuran Pitu. By the way, Pancuran Pitu means seven small waterfalls coming from some hot springs nearby. Goa Sarabadak or Sarabadak Cave has its own uniqueness because in the cave there is a confluence of hot water flowing from Pancuran Pitu and cold water from forest springs. Apart from that, there is white smoke that clotted in hot streams along the white cliffs. This hot water contains sulfur, which flows for hundreds of years without stopping and leaves behind deposits that give the cliff walls a yellow color and are called tebing belerang or sulfur cliffs. The flow of hot water is also usually used by tourists to soak their feet or their body, which is said can cure various diseases. Descending the steps of the path to this location, visitors will be treated to a view of the Green Valley, which is very far from this cliff location. There are also walls covered in thick green moss surrounding the cliffs, which are not exposed to the flow of hot water. Here, visitors can enjoy the freshness unlike the hot water or hot sulfuric area. To get to the Green Cliff location, visitors must go down to the bottom of the cliff. The road is neatly arranged and quite good, so access to the green cliffs becomes easy to reach. There is a dark and narrow part to the right of the cave, which visitors cannot enter. In this section, tourists usually just stand in front of the cave mouth to play in the hot springs or just take photos around the cave mouth. Although the journey to the location of this tourist attraction is quite challenging, visitors will get an extraordinary experience because of the unique and beautiful natural beauty. Well, that was Indonesian Wonder today.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Before we end our segment, listeners' mailbag, I will say hello to Kalap Abbas. Hello, sir. How are you today? Hopefully, you are in a good condition and also monitoring our broadcast now. So I'm waiting for your next reception report. And of course, we do not forget to wish you a very belated happy birthday on November 27th. Thank you so much for keep listening to Voice of Indonesia. Well, listener, wherever you are, before I sign out, I will play a beautiful song. Enjoy!
Ku rasakan cinta sejak pertama ku jumpa dirimu, ku berikan tanda, namun mengapa kau tetap berlalu, tak pernah melihatku. Oh, oh, andai saja kau mengerti apa yang ku rasakan, kau tahu betapa ku mengharapkan kau jadi kekasihku. Oh Tuhan, tolong aku, tunjukkan cara untuk memiliki dirinya. Aku ingin hatinya jadi milikku.
Coming up next, we have two programs in a row called Miscellany and Music Corner. Enjoy!
Miscellany today is on exhibition of repatriated collections from the Netherlands. After almost 2 years of dialogue and cooperation between Indonesia and the Netherlands, The Netherlands finally returned Indonesia's historical objects in August 2023, day two during the Dutch colonial time, which lasted around 300 years until Indonesia's independence proclamation on August 17, 1945. This return or repatriation marks a major step in increasing the preservation and maintenance of Indonesia's cultural heritage. For people who want to see the repatriated historical objects, they can visit the exhibition, which is being held from November 28th to December the 10th at the National Gallery of Indonesia. This program is a collaboration between the National Gallery of Indonesia, the National Museum of Indonesia, and Historia.id. This repatriation exhibition provides an opportunity for the public to access a collection of artifacts and historical objects that have returned to their homeland. The Director General of Culture, Hilmar Farid, emphasized the importance of the aspects of knowledge production from these artifacts and historical objects. There are 152 historical objects displayed in this exhibition, both from the results of previous repatriation processes that have become masterpiece collection of the National Museum of Indonesia, such as the Prince Diponegoro collection and the Prajnaparamita statue, as well as historical objects that arrived this year in Indonesia, such as the Singosari Temple Collection, Klungkung Kris Collection, and Lombok Royal Heritage Collection. To enliven the exhibition agenda, various public programs were also held, such as public discussions, workshops, and treasure hunts. Bonnie Triana, as exhibition curator and repatriation team member, said that this exhibition does not only display inanimate objects or ancient artifacts. It also represents historical stories and the meaning behind these artifacts and objects. That was Miss Leni.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Kau tak pernah berubah, kau masih saja dengan beratnya kau tak suka apa kata ayah. Jadi pembatas ruang gerakmu berkarya. Maksud hatiku ingin bebaskanmu. Sekilas yang aku dengar, sekilas yang aku dengar,
Voice of Indonesia.
VOA listener, in today's music corner, I will present a song by Sandy Sondoro. Sandy Sondoro is a singer, songwriter, and guitar player from Indonesia who started his music career in Germany. On November 17, 2023, he released his latest song entitled Tiba-tiba Cinta or Suddenly in Love, a thrilling but also pleasant feeling that must be experienced by anyone who is in love. That's what Sandy tries to express in his latest work. The song tells the story of love that suddenly comes into someone's life. Through this song, Sandy Sondoro tries to describe how beautiful the feeling of falling in love is through words full of warmth and joy. Well, listener, let's enjoy this song by Sandy Sondoro entitled Tiba-tiba Cinta. Check this one out.
Kau cantik, sungguh manis, baru saja ku kenal. Di suatu momen yang tak biasa, suaramu yang indah di saat kau bernyanyi membuat jantungku berdebar. Kau bawa aku terbang, melayang indah bersama angan-angan. Oh, tiba-tiba aku jatuh cinta. Berjuta rasanya, betapa indahnya. Cinta, oh, berjuta-juta rasanya. Kau bawa diriku terbang, melayang indah bersama bintang-bintang. Hey, yeah, yeah. Apa indahnya, tiba-tiba aku jatuh cinta. Oh, berjuta-juta rasanya. Oh, berjuta-juta rasanya. Dan ku harap kau juga jatuh cinta. Dan ku harap kau juga jatuh cinta. Betapa indahnya, yeah, hey, yeah. Aku jatuh cinta, aku jatuh cinta, yeah. Berjuta rasanya, betapa indahnya. Tiba, oh tiba, aku jatuh cinta.
Voice of Indonesia.
Ku
rasakan cinta sejak pertama ku jumpa dirimu, ku berikan tanda, namun mengapa kau tetap berlalu tak pernah melihatku. Oh, andai saja kau mengerti apa yang ku rasakan, kau tahu betapa ku mengharapkan kau jadi kekasihku. Oh Tuhan, tolong aku, tunjukkan cara untuk memiliki dirinya. Aku ingin hatinya jadi milikku.
Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Cinta. Ini tentang bertemunya dua manusia dengan sejuta mimpinya, saling menguatkan. Layaknya senja yang mungkin mulai meredup, tapi pagi akan selalu hadir menopangnya.
Percayakah kau bahwa kita ada untuk menjadi cerita atas
atas adil Tuhan. Telah tiba saatnya ku berhenti bertanya, ruang dan waktu menjawabnya dengan hadirmu dalam sederhana kisahku yang bercerita tentang aku menyerupai senja.
Thank you for listening to our English program of Voice of Indonesia through shortwave frequency 3325 and 4750 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram at @VOI_official, Twitter or now known as X at VOI Indonesia, and send email to VOI@voinews.id. So I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.